from New Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Have we got stories to tell about Fats Domino? Now, Domino never said he invented rock and roll, but check the records. He and a small collection of musical wizards in New Orleans were there at the beginning, playing rock and roll before the music ever had a name. Admirers like piano player John Cleary say Domino was continuing a Louisiana music tradition that goes back generations.
The Fats was basically successful at something that they'd already been doing down here for quite a long time. Before Chuck Berry, or Little Richard, or Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, the big names you associate with rock and roll. He was really the first one to really bust open the gates.
We pay tribute to the biggest fat man of all. After the break.
Please don't leave me, baby, please don't go.
This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Attention must be paid to the great Fats Domino. Of all the founding fathers of the United States, Domino made the best case for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness on piano. Without Antoine Domino Jr., we'd be living in a nation that's not half as fun to listen to. When Domino was coming up in the late 1940s, a fella could boast about being stout. Post-World War II heft meant success, power, confidence. People thought a heavy man had to be twice as sharp to keep up with a thin man. And every Friday night, a quarter of the nation's radios were tuned to this clever hero.
The American Broadcasting Company brings you the adventures of Dashiell Hammett's latest and most fascinating character, the Fat Man, a fast-moving criminologist who tips the scales at 237 pounds.
When the Fat Man was on the air, Domino was working at a mattress factory in New Orleans and playing piano at night. He'd just gotten married, and both his waistline and his fan base were expanding. That's when a bandleader first called him Fats and predicted he'd have an outsized career. From there, it was a cakewalk to his first million-selling record. Of Imperial Records heard Domino sing an earlier version of The Fat Man at a club in the Ninth Ward and signed him right off the bandstand to a recording contract. Producer Dave Bartholomew was there. Bartholomew died recently at the age of 100, but he told the story in a 1981 interview now housed at the Hogan Jazz Archive at Tulane University.
Fats was rocking the joint. And he was sweating and playing. He put his whole heart and soul in what he was doing. And people was crazy about him, so that was it. And we made our first record, The Fat Man, and we never turned around.
It's not that Domino had invented something new. He was playing rhythm and blues, and after the torch songs and ballads of wartime, R&B marked the nation's return to shaking it on the dance floor. Amos Milburn and Charles Brown were early R&B stars, and Louis Jordan placed the fun right here in New Orleans.
If you've ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean. Now, all through the week, it's quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night, they go from house to house. You don't have to pay the usual admission if you're a cook or a waiter or a good musician. So if you happen to be just passing by, stop in at the Saturday night fish fry.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such a coming and a shoving till the break of dawn.
In the late 1940s, R&B was the recording industry's fancy new handle for what had been called race music, songs intended mostly for black audiences. But white people like to dance, too. And who ever heard of rockin' to Jim Crow? So R&B songs began getting play on white radio stations nationwide. Not every white station, mind you, and often late at night, after many segregationists had gone to bed. But for those young people who tuned in, it was just like Roy Brown said, there's good rockin' tonight.
Oh, yes, I heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight. Well, I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight. Well, meet me in a hurry behind the barn. Don't be afraid, I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring my rockin' shoes, 'cause tonight I'm gonna rock away all my blues. I heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight.
Back then, Roy Brown, Big Joe Turner, and Fats Domino were seasoned performers whose styles reflected their musical heroes. Boogie Woogie, Jump Blues, and big band veterans who were already popular with black audiences. But Domino biographer Rick Coleman says white teenagers nationwide were thunderstruck to hear a Roy Brown, or a Big Joe Turner, or a Fats Domino. Those guys didn't sound anything like the chart toppers who dominated pop radio.
So tired of dreaming daydreams, so tired of only play schemes. Why don't you call me tonight, my dear.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where I'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows.
Oh, you're tied up with someone else, and I'm all tied up too.
I know I've made mistakes, dear,
but I'm so in love with you.
I hope someday I'll find a way to bring you back to me. And I won't have to slip around to have your company.
Do the hucklebuck, do the hucklebuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you out of luck. Push your partner out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement on your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
That was the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra and Charlie Shavers with the hucklebuck. Jimmy Wakely and Margaret Whiting with Slipping Around. Dinah Shore and her Harper Valley Boys with Buttons and Bows. And Russ Morgan and his orchestra with So Tired. These were some of the biggest pop hits of 1949. But in December of that year, Domino recorded The Fat Man. And biographer Rick Coleman says it was like adding Creole seasoning to hospital food.
Kids, you know, I'd heard a lot of very white bread type of radio up until the time of the rhythm blues era, and suddenly they're hearing this crazy music with blaring saxophones and, you know, and people shouting, you know, and so what the heck is this?
The Fat Man is one of the first rock and roll songs, and yet in 1950, the song was hardly new. Fats Domino and producer Dave Bartholomew had reworked an old song called the Junkers Blues into something, well, different. The original had been a hit for a Louisiana artist, Champion Jack Dupree. It was one of the earliest recorded songs about drug addiction.
They call me a junkie, 'cause I'm loaded all the time. I don't use no refund, I be knocked out with that angel wine. 6 months ain't no. And 1 year ain't no time. They got boys in penitentiary doing from 9 to 99. I was standing on the corner with my reefer in my hand. Upstairs, the sergeant took my reefer out of my hand.
Musician John Cleary says the Junkers Blues and the Fat Man could only have been made in Louisiana.
Whereas in the rest of the states, the tradition is largely based around 12-bar blues. Here in Louisiana, there's a strong tradition of 8-bar blues, which has a slightly different pulse to it. And so the basic formula is Junkers Blues.
Which is the 8-bar blues.
Which is an 8-bar blues. You know, you can play that in several different ways. Fats Domino played like this. That's an 8-bar blues. But then the earlier form, it would have been rougher, it would have been slower too. And when you slow it down a little bit, it really lends itself to this triplet. And that was one of the building blocks of New Orleans R&B. That's what I, if I'm teaching my little niece to how to play piano or friend, little children, they can all get a hand on that. It's like nursery rhyme stuff. There's a million songs out of New Orleans with those changes.
Yeah.
But that's really the famous Fats Domino groove, you know. Everybody knows that.
That homegrown groove made Blueberry Hill the biggest smash of Domino's already smashing career. Between 1950 and 1963, popular demand for Domino outpaced demand for Bill Haley and the Comets, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins. Only Elvis Presley sold more records during that stretch, but Presley cited Domino as the early master. Presley reportedly loved Domino's version of Blueberry Hill so much, he asked Fats to sit down and teach it to him.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. Blueberry Hill in Lane.
still. Oh, you were my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
That was Fats Domino singing Blueberry Hill. Coming up, how did a black man who lived in the Jim Crow South sell more than 64 million records? Stay tuned. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're celebrating the extraordinary life of Fats Domino.
I'm gonna be a wheel someday. I'm gonna be somebody. I'm gonna be a real gone cat. Then I won't want you. Everything gonna go my way, and I won't need nobody. I'm gonna be a real gone cat. Then I won't want you.
By the time Domino recorded I'm Gonna Be a Wheel Someday, he was already a star. But no doubt, the song put him in touch with the aspirations he held as a young performer.
You will cry. You will cry. You'll be wondering why I don't look at you when I go rolling by. I'm gonna be a wheel one day. I'm gonna be somebody. I'm gonna be a real gone cat. Then I won't want you.
Fats Domino's forebears came to the U.S. from Haiti and worked in the sugarcane fields around Vacherie, Louisiana. After the Great Flood of 1927, the family moved to New Orleans, where Fats was born. Here's Domino biographer Rick Coleman.
His grandmother, Carmelite, was born a slave during the Civil War, and she was a midwife, and she delivered him in February of 1928. And can you imagine if she could have just seen his future, how huge and successful he would have been? I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Coleman says the Dominoes were French-speaking and musical. They played a variety of instruments at home in the Lower Ninth Ward. But that doesn't quite explain how Fats, with only a fourth-grade education in the segregated South, would grow up to outsell Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Buddy Holly combined.
What happened is that sometime in the 30s, somebody apparently gave the Dominoes an old broken down piano, and Fats said it was so beat up you could see the rusted metal through the ivory. Okay, so it had been played so hard,
it'd been touched so much. Isn't that funny? You know, because isn't there sort of a similar story about Professor Longhair? They say that he learned to play on a piano that was missing keys.
Oh yeah,
which is one of the reasons why he developed the style that he ultimately had.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you need a bad instrument.
But that was what they said. They said that in those days they would go places, little bars, and they would find really, really beat up pianos, and you know, no matter what, a New Orleans piano player could get some sound out of it.
Domino's brother-in-law was banjo player and guitarist Harrison Verrett, and Verrett taught him to play. Here's Verrett in 1961 talking with Bill Russell, the former curator of the Hogan Jazz Archive at Tulane.
He was singing one key and be playing a different time. And I had to wake on his time. And when I got him so he was good, and I put him in the union.
But Verrett said shyness threatened to end Domino's career before it started.
Going to these clubs here, I play with it, and he wouldn't play if I didn't. He wouldn't touch the piano if he wanted me to start him off, you see. Well, and I'd start him off. And I kept him, build up his courage. I build his courage up.
Once Domino relaxed on stage, he could deliver a song like nobody else in the whole wide world. He wah-wah-wahed and woo-hooed like a country and western singer by way of the Lower Ninth Ward. Ida LaFay Ellis is a longtime family friend.
Fats, he loved country music, and he said country music always told a good story. He recorded, you know, Your Cheating Heart. He recorded You Win Again, and, of course, Jambalaya. He loved Hank Williams, talked about it all the time.
Ellis dates her friendship with Domino to the time she taught him a little-known verse of Jambalaya.
I first went to Fats's house over 20 years ago. And we were sitting around playing the piano, and he was playing Jambalaya. He played it a few times, and then I sang a verse of Jambalaya that I knew that he had never heard. Settle down, far from town, get me a pirogue. Gonna catch me all the fish there on the bayou. Swap my mun to buy Yvonne what she need-o. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Well, when he heard me sing the verse that he didn't know, he looked so puzzled. And then, of course, he made me sing it, I bet, 25 times. Settle down, far from town, get me a pirogue. Gonna catch me all the fish there on the bayou. Swap my mun to buy Yvonne what she need, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Idé LaFay Ellis, singing for us at Marini Recording Studio. Domino had a lot in common with the great country artists of his day. But music writer Ben Sandmel says Domino's vocals bespeak a rural experience right here in New Orleans. He says Domino sings in a patois once commonly heard here.
It's almost like he's an English as a second language speaker. It's a very thick regional accent to me. And his phrasing, it's like a Caribbean vocal style. If you take a song, for example, My Blue Heaven, and just listen to the way, it's not one of his best-known records, but listen to the way he pronounces the words on that. When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I heard of my blue heaven. And listen to the way he says, my blue heaven.
Heaven.
No, but no, the whole, no, my blue heaven, all three words.
When whippoorwill call, evening is night, I hurry to my blue heaven. You turn to the right, you find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place, fireplace, cozy room. All the nest, that nest is where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, we make three, be happy in my blue heaven.
You know, he grew up in a semi-rural neighborhood. At that time, the Lower Nine was a semi-rural neighborhood. And if you listen to oral histories of people recorded around that time, there are a lot of thick accents and a lot of Frenchisms in the speech.
You find a cozy place, fireplace, cozy room. Oh, little nest, that nest is where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We happy in my blue heaven.
Domino's vocals are nearly impossible to replicate. But surrounding those vocals with just the right sound took a deep bench of talent. That's what accounts for all the chart hits and those 64 million records sold. Domino had the best New Orleans musicians, including Earl Palmer, Smokey Johnson, and Tenu Coleman on drums, Lee Allen, Red Tyler, and Herb Hardesty on saxophone, and Cosimo Matassa, the best sound engineer in town. Domino also had a remarkable collaboration with Imperial Records and producer Dave Bartholomew. Here's Bartholomew again from that 1981 interview.
I always felt this way. If you feel that you want to make a record, it's like building a house. You build your background first, which is your base, your foundation for your house. And I still say this, if you don't have that foundation for that record, you ain't got nothing.
I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me.
Bartholomew produced, arranged, and co-wrote many of Domino's hits. And he organized a band that perfected the big beat that became synonymous with rock and roll. Drums, bass, and two guitars, one that doubled the bass line and the other that played behind the beat. Even the horns played rhythm. At heart, Bartholomew was a jazz man.
To be frank, I would have been much happier playing in a big band, like the band that played behind Johnny Carson. That would have knocked me out. My first love, but that didn't buy no groceries, so I have to forget about what you like and go ahead on and be satisfied with what you got.
The partnership between Bartholomew and Domino didn't always run smoothly. Bartholomew preferred more sophisticated fare. He reportedly criticized songs like Ain't That a Shame or I'm Walkin' because the lyrics told only partial stories. And by all accounts, Bartholomew's opinions irritated Domino. But neither man could achieve as much without the other. Domino had the chops and the charm, but Bartholomew's arrangements were the envy of rock and roll. Bartholomew also wrote Domino's favorite hit, a song with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Again, biographer Rick Coleman.
Blue Monday, oh, I hate Blue Monday, got to work like a slave all day. And then he goes through every day of the week and talking about how he lives for the weekend. But he's got a hangover after that, after the weekend, so he's got to get ready because Monday is a mess. That's what he says.
Nick Spitzer is a cultural anthropologist and host of the long-running public radio program American Roots. He calls Blue Monday his all-time favorite Domino song.
You know, it is the work week, and it maps to a lot of people's experiences, maps to mine. And it's classic, you know, Bartholomew writing, Domino playing and delivering, and I don't think it gets any better than that. And you know, the public, I think, agreed with me, at least back in 1956 when it came out and into 57, because it was number one R&B and it was number five on the pop charts. So I just love Blue Monday, and I think it is a feeling we all have on Monday, maybe more in New Orleans than some places because of what we did over the weekend.
Time to play. Here come Wednesday. I'm beat to my side. My gal called. Got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day. And Friday I'll get my pay. Saturday morning. Time that I've had.
Monday, written by Dave Bartholomew and performed by the late Fats Domino. Coming up, fistfights, tear gas, and a visit with the Ku Klux Klan. Stay tuned. Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. We're talking about the music of Fats Domino. Here's Sick and Tired.
Oh, baby, what you gonna do? Oh, baby, what you gonna do? I'm sick and tired fooling around with you. I get up in the morning, fix you something to eat. Before I go to work, I even brush your teeth. I come back in the evening, you're still in bed. Got a rag tied around your head. Oh, babe, what you gonna do? I'm sick and tired fooling around with you.
No matter how much fun Domino's concerts were in those early days, rock and roll was a tough sell. Social critics called the music vulgar, and the combination of racial tension and teenage hormones at concerts proved violent. We're talking bottle throwing, tear gas, arrests.
This is my last time telling you to change your ways. I'm telling you, baby, I mean what I said. Last time telling you to stop that jive, or you will find yourself outside. Oh, baby, what you gonna do? I'm sick and tired fooling around with you.
Domino biographer Rick Coleman collected dozens of stories about the band's experiences on the road.
It was so difficult with the segregation and integration and the crossover of rhythm and blues to rock and roll. I mean, it was not an easy time period, even though the music was beautiful and joyful. It was a hard birth.
Newspaper accounts of Domino's tour dates read like a police blotter. There were fights at nightclubs up and down the California coast, in Colorado, in Texas, in Rhode Island, and Connecticut. At a dance hall in North Carolina, Domino's bass player was forced out of a second-story window and fell into a ravine. His hand was permanently damaged. And then there was that 1956 incident in Washington, D.C., Domino's car caught fire.
And the fireman looks at the black man there, okay, and is not feeling very helpful and says, "Sorry, can't help you, brother." And so they essentially watched Fats' beautiful Cadillac burn to the ground, okay? And, you know, so that kind of shows you some of the ugly things that are going on. And there was a lot of situations like that.
Don't blame it on me. I'm not guilty, can't you see? Don't blame it on me. I'm the same as I used to be. Every day is sunny when it comes to loving you. I'll always love you no matter what you do. Don't blame it on me.
Domino said nothing publicly about the dangers his band experienced, nor did he appear eager to discuss his views on integration or civil rights. He was in an unusual situation. By 1960, Domino's audience was overwhelmingly white. And boy, what a wide spectrum of white people they were. Members of the Ku Klux Klan once gave the band directions in South Carolina. Here's the late sax player Herb Hardesty in 2014 speaking from his home in Las Vegas.
Well, I was a driver during that period of time, so I had to make a turn. When I made that turn, about 5 minutes, I came to Ku Klux Klan, and they said, "Well, where's Fats Domino? Fast Domino had a sign on his buses. And I said, he's not here. He said, what are you guys doing? I said, I'm lost. I'm trying to get back to the highway. And they were very nice. The Ku Klux Klan treated us very nice. They wasn't hostile or being mean or anything. They helped me out.
After a decade on the road, Domino had opened more doors than even he was aware of. But longtime friend Idae Ellis says Domino has always been reluctant to assess his impact on rock and roll.
He really doesn't appreciate his place in history, which is big, certainly. But he has no idea of it. It has to do with his humility. He knows he's good. He knows he was a star and is a star. But he doesn't have a sense of history. He's a very, very humble man. He gives total credit to God. He does. He'll tell you that. God gave me a gift.
So a big part of Domino's legacy will be that he never wanted to talk about his legacy. Public radio host Nick Spitzer says Domino is masterful at avoiding interviews.
The impossibility of getting an interview with Fats Domino is almost like a folktale among people. And Clint Eastwood had a big wad of $100 bills for an interview for his blues piano shows on PBS. Didn't get an interview. But Fats is a shy man who first spoke Creole and was shy in interviews, I think, because of that. Shy because there were big talkers like Dave Bartholomew around to handle the press. And, you know, he never was that person that was the big talker about what he did. He just did the performing.
Domino's music does the talking for him, and people all over the world are listening. Among Cajuns and Creoles in southwestern Louisiana, it's inspired swamp pop. And Jamaican musicians also credit Domino as a founding father. Musician John Cleary made it his business to learn why.
I grew up in England, and I love reggae, and I love old blue beat and ska and rock steady. And that music was very informed by New Orleans music. From what old Jamaican musicians have told me, that was pretty much all they could get on American radio. If the reception was good, if the weather was clear and the signals were coming over from New Orleans, which wasn't that far away. Fats Domino's music was hugely popular. And he's really credited with creating, coming up with the first record that was such a splash in Jamaica that it changed the way Jamaican musicians played and gave them a basic template for a style of music that came to be known as ska. And, you know, this, it's called Be My Guest, and the basic groove is simple. It's just this. Record and over here, what you really, the bass is the important thing. That's the bass is, and the right hand is almost just propelling things along by filling in the gaps. The way Jamaicans heard it, and perhaps because they were listening on little transistor radios, you couldn't really hear the bass part. What they really heard loud and clear was the right hand of the piano. So it spawned the whole style, and they call it ska because it's something like scat, 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 and scat, 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 and scat. Very, the Jamaicans are great with onomatopoeic words to describe music like reggae, 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 reggae. And so what happened was over the course of a couple of decades, this music, which was really for young kids, they started getting a bit older, they wanted to smooch a little bit more, and the music started to slow down a little bit. As again, so that bit was called Rock Steady. And into the 60s and into the 70s, it slowed down completely into. Mm. which is reggae music. Everyone knows about reggae. So arguably, one of the important contributory factors to reggae, which has conquered the world, came out of the Ninth Ward in New Orleans in the person of Fats Domino. That's where it comes from.
You know, I mean, people have always, I mean, not always, but I've read something similar to that, but I never really understood it until you actually played it, yeah. You know? Yeah. And you're right. I mean, nothing like a mono sound over a transistor radio
sure.
to distort, to tamp down the bass,
yeah. Bring
up the right hand, and yeah. Then the slowing it down. It's like it all came into focus.
Yes. The piano was always, don't give it up, don't tell me, be my guest tonight.
Is Be My Guest, first by John Cleary and now by Ben Harper and the Scatolites.
Come on, baby, won't you be my guest? Join the party and meet the rest. Everything is gonna be so right. Just be my guest tonight. We're gonna dance to the rock and roll. We're gonna groove to the stroll. Linda, I've been to the queue, a special party for you. My, oh my, you know you're so fine. Don't let me down, I'm the king, but you can wear my crown.
This version appeared on a 2007 tribute album to Domino called Going Home. The album featured a wide assortment of Domino fans, including Cleary, Bonnie Raitt, Paul McCartney, Art Neville, Robert Plant, Elton John, Randy Newman, and many others. Most of the artists recorded and delivered their songs at their own expense. For Domino.
My, oh my, you know you're so fine.
Going Home raised more than $250,000 for the Tipitinas Foundation, which supports local musicians and helped rebuild Domino's house following Hurricane Katrina. Roland and Mary von Kernotowski spearheaded the effort.
We started calling artists with the blessing of Fats Domino. I mean, that just is like a calling card that, you know, it's just automatic. And then we get the word that there's a John Lennon rendition of Ain't That a Shame that was still kind of sitting in their archive. And Yoko Ono was contacted, and her answer was, yes, of course, please use this. And once that happened, it was like a floodgate.
You made me cry when you said goodbye.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. Let me hold your hand. Try to understand. Let it fall and blow.
Let it fall and blow.
Let it blow, let it blow.
Let it blow, let it blow.
From the east to the west.
From the east to the west.
I love you the best.
I love you.
Come on. Hello, Josephine. How do you do? Do you remember?
Was Nora Jones with My Blue Heaven, Taj Mahal with My Girl Josephine, Toots and the Maytals with Let the Four Winds Blow, Lucinda Williams with Honey Child, and John Lennon with Ain't That a Shame. In a separate effort, even Russian leader Vladimir Putin paid tribute to Domino. This video on YouTube has attracted nearly 4 million hits. It's unclear whether Domino ever saw it, but then maybe he shouldn't have.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you.
As it turns out, the best interpreter of Fats Domino is Domino. He may not have had a hit in the last 30 years of his life, but his writing still resonates. For his last album, called Alive and Kicking, Domino wrote a song that has come to mean a great deal to his friends and family in New Orleans. It's called Love You Till the Day I Die. And as always, Domino delivered it like nobody else in the whole wide world. Again, family friend, Idae Ellis.
Well, first of all, I think everyone should listen to this song. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. It expresses the most basic emotions that people have. And I think it talks about what really matters. It's not like, I can give you this, I can do that, I can climb mountains. What I can do for you is I can care for you and love you. And the reason that I do is because you have been the same to me. You have done that to me. It's a beautiful exchange of feelings. It really says what love is.
Well, hello. I tried for a long, long time, but couldn't get you off my mind. So I decided to take a little ride. Stop by, say hi. I didn't come here to write a book or paint a picture or promise the stars up in the sky. I come here to tell you, I wanna tell you, I'm gonna love you till the day I die.
Maybe Domino wrote the song for someone in particular, and yet it also serves as an eloquent thank you to his fans. Their love affair lasted a lifetime.
And after all, the things I've done, you stood with me, the only one, and when I was a lonely man, you took my hand. When I cry, you dried my eyes. No, I didn't wave a flag or save the country. Didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. I just want to tell you, I want to tell you, I'm gonna love you till the day I die.
And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Sean Collins, and Jason Ryan. Special thanks this week go to Adam Burke and the good people at KNPR in Las Vegas. Check out more about Fats Domino on our website at www.musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax-deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.